Amen. If you're just joining us, we are going through a series on the holiness of God. And we spent several weeks looking at who is God and what does holiness mean? And this week we transition and we begin to see then what does it mean to be the holy people of God? 2 weeks ago, we were going to the funeral home to make arrangements for my dad's funeral, and afterwards, my mother and my brother and I, we said, let's, and Wendy met us there. We went to a place to go eat in northern Austin, Pflugerville area. And so we went into this restaurant, and we went up to the counter, and now, if you know what place I'm talking about, don't say it out loud yet, okay? And we went to the counter, and they had dolmas there, tzatziki, they had falafel, and some of the best pita bread that you've ever had. It was soft, but it had like a little fried crust to it. It's delicious. And as you looked around the room, you were kind of struck by who was there. There weren't very many people there. In fact, the only people there looked like they were probably family. There were kids that were kind of lounging like they'd been there way too long. They didn't want to be there anymore, but for some reason they were there that day. And there was us. And you looked around the room and there were things on the wall. There were pictures of the Acropolis on the wall. As you walked around, there were, in different places, Corinthian pillars. Kind of odd. And you also saw seat cushions that looked like someone had taken a trip there and brought them back and then hung them on the wall. And so we ate our meal, and it was delicious. There were also white and blue flags everywhere. And after we ate our meal, the lady who had waited on us came and brought us food that we did not order. And she said, "You need to eat more." And so they just gave us dessert, and it was delicious. And we were full. It was delightful. What kind of restaurant do we go to? Greek. But you have to say it like that, don't you? Greek. That's a proud people, isn't it? We had such a beautiful time there. It was... And everything in that room said, "You are in Greece." We were Greek people. Everything in that place told us the same story, a different people, a different culture, a different way of life. And it caused me to stop and think, if someone walked into our lives, have they walked in here, would they be able to tell to whom we belong? So today, we're going to take a couple more tours in the message. We're going to take a tour of the temple. We're going to take a tour of this place. And we're also going to take a tour of each of our lives. God has always been forming a people who are set apart, who are unique. When God set apart Israel, Israel had their set of laws. They had festivals. They had the sacrificial system, confession and forgiveness. They had their own space, tabernacle, and later a temple. They were set apart in all things of their lives. They were unique. They were unique in how they handled their money, their resources. They looked different from the world, but they weren't made to just look different. They were made to be different from the rest of the world. So you could tell someone who belonged to Israel by what they wore, but also how they behaved. You could tell someone who belonged to the people of God by how they celebrated their seasons, what they did on Sabbath. They were a different kind of people. They ate different kinds of food. They treated their money differently. They were to set aside the first fruits of what they received, and they were to give it back to the Lord. And they had other offerings and things they would give. Remember, we talked last week about Achan. As they went into the promised land, remember, Achan received such a terrible punishment, a rightful punishment, that, and why was that? Because the things that, when they entered into the promised land, they were to take the first fruits of the entrance into the promised land. The requirements for the first city they came to, of Jericho, they weren't required to do any other time. They were to take whatever spoils there were, and they were to be brought into the treasury there to be kept aside for God. They were a set-apart kind of thing. It was a first fruit. And here, Achan takes of the first fruits because it was that thing was designated. It was sacred to God. Not because God needs an offering, but because those things are sacred. That's what made them different from their neighbors. And so as we look at these things that separated the children of Israel, one of the more precious things that we see was the temple and the tabernacle. So the tabernacle was the tent that they moved in, that God gave them orders to create. And they made this beautiful tent that then could be brought with them. And they made the Ark of the Covenant. And it became the seat of God among the people. But they also had unique things that were meant to be furniture or instruments of worship within that court area, within this tabernacle. There was, first of all, an outer court so that you didn't just come in like you were outside, and not everyone could even go past that outer court. There was a separation. There was a warning to us to not be casual about our relationship with God, but God then invites us in with reverence. There was an altar that stood before the people in both the tabernacle and also in the temple. And this altar was made as a place of sacrifice, where the children of Israel were reminded over and over again that our sins cost death, but that God is gracious and He allows something to die in our place, that our sin has a cost, that holiness requires atonement. And so as you would walk through and get an aerial view of what is happening in the temple and the tabernacle, you would see these bronze lavers that you would wash your hands in, that the priests would wash their hands in, that we are not just forgiven, but we are now washed and cleansed and made holy and righteous. There'd be a lampstand to remind us that God illumines. There would be showbread that reminds us that God sustains and He provides. There was incense that was burning that reminds us that God hears us. A light that continued to burn. It was a promise that God would continue to be with His people. He would guide His people. There stood a veil that separated the holiness of God from His people, so that you could not come too close. And the most holy place in which God dwells, where God has drawn near to us. This temple wasn't just a place of worship. It was also a place of spiritual formation. It helped us understand who we are with God. What things are important to Him? How do you interact with the Holy God? And so the people of God built the tabernacle. The people of God built the temple. And the temple was rebuilt. And now God has come. Christ has come. And God forms his people through this worship. The problem, of course, in the time of Israel was that the people got the idea, the form right, but they didn't get the essence. It's kind of like if I were to say, if we were to go into Taco Bell, I like Taco Bell, but if you go to Taco Bell and then leave, and I turn to my wife and say, ándale pues, fuimos a México, right? We were in Mexico. We were not in Mexico. I mean, there were Spanish words on the wall, right? There was food that resembles something like something that might be found in Mexico. Not actually, but you got kind of the form right, but we're not. This is not Greek, you know? This is not the experience. We didn't enter into the thing. And that's what often would happen in Israel. They would give the sacrifices, and God would say, but your heart is far from me. I don't desire your sacrifice. I desire your obedience. I want you to be my people, not just be Taco Bell people. I want you to be the set apart, holy people of God. And so the people of God were formed by the space. They were formed by their time, by their celebrations and their festivals. And when Jesus comes, he forms us anew. He changes us. And so we now living under the grace of Jesus, now that he has fulfilled many of fulfilled the Old Testament law and the rituals, we don't have to follow all those rituals like they did, but they still are part of what catechizes us as the people of God. Catechize. That is to teach us the faith by doing and by seeing. And so even in this room, we are catechizing the people of God. We don't have a temple here. This is not meant to be a tabernacle or a temple, but it is meant to be a place of worship. And so we are actually spending a lot of time and energy, aren't we, church, in making this place catechize. And so I want you to begin to envision even a little bit more what this place looks like and will look like soon, because it's very intentional. So as you know, out the back door where we are, where JB is, JB, wave at us. He's keeping us safe back there. All right. We see there'll be two double doors right here that you'll enter in. The space right back there is going to be our hospitality area. And so when you walk in, to your right, you're going to see this place that's going to be the most finished place in everything that's happening in here. And it is meant as a kind of outer court. It is drawing people in and welcoming them to this fellowship. And from there, we're going to love people, and we're going to welcome strangers in, and we're going to be extremely hospitable. That's the goal of that place. But your eye, because of the lighting, is going to move from there, because the first thing will be on your right, but then you'll look this way, and this is what you're going to see in the back here. There'll be a cross right here on the other side of it that's probably 8 feet tall. And there'll be a Gothic arch that is there in this backdrop. And there'll be lighting behind that cross so that your eye begins to move immediately this direction. This will be the focal point. It'll be the focal point for lots of different reasons. The reason we're coming here is we're coming here not to eat donuts, which are delightful. We are not coming here just to hang out. We're not coming here just to sing, but it is under the banner of Christ that we come. And so we have intentionally placed the cross right back here so that when someone is up here speaking or singing or whatever, you see them, but it is under the shadow of the cross. It's very intentional. It's more expensive, by the way. We could have one big screen like we did before, right in the middle. It's much cheaper to do that, like half. But we said, no, we're going to put screens on either side because we want the focal point to be the cross that will be up here. And so the arch will be made of hewn wood, so it's like not really finished wood. And the cross will be out of hewn wood. It's not finished. It's kind of rough. And that's very intentional. We're not trying to be polished with this. We are remembering, like, when you know the altar was built, it was to be of unhewn rocks. It was to be rocks that had not been shaped. They were just rocks they picked up to remind you that it is God's creation, God's power. It is not us who are making this thing. Wendy's looking at me because I said something wrong. What did I say? Yeah. She has this look. I said hewn and hewn wrong, but okay. So, trying to catch it in real time now. What I'm trying to say is that we will have wood that is not finished. It reminds us of this kind of roughness of the stones that were made in the altar, that made up the altar. That it is not by our work, but it is by the work of Jesus that these things happen. And so when you come in here, normally when you come in here, you look up and you say, oh, we're in a gym, right? We are. But that as we come in here and others come in here, we would say, oh, this place, it's something more than that. There would be, I imagine, kind of a, okay, this is, there is something more significant. I'm imagining even on Thursday nights when we have these guys playing basketball and we're just running up and down the courts. Already there's a sense where guys will say to each other, don't forget where you are in the things that they say. And I just think there'll be more of that. Don't forget where you are. So we'll have both this time of fellowship space for that. We have time for lifting up the praises of God here. We'll have, we're going to have microphones that come down and point towards you. And the goal of that is that we might hear the praises of God's people together. Very intentional. There will be no blue lights, by the way, and no fog machine. Okay. And so this place, and then these rolling things. Now, I'm telling you, we are catechizing and we are imperfect in it. There are things that we are missing maybe we should do, and they're not the perfect, but this is our goal. So as you walk in, what do you see? You see these rolling walls, and they'll be positioned in different places, and they tell the story of what we're trying to do. We want to welcome you in. We also have a great value in the ministry that's done in our community and in the world. So if you walk in and you want to know who are these people, we are trying to communicate. Like, these things are important, not just to Redeemer, but this is the people of God. We are a called out people of God. We aren't just focused on ourselves, but we care about the world, and we're bringing this gospel to other people. We aren't waiting on the plain of Shinar and building something that would be great for ourselves. No, we are taking the gospel to the world. I hope you're getting pretty excited. Like, this is awesome. And then you see another thing that's valuable to us is membership. We have new members that are on that wall over there. And as you walk through, what we're trying to say to you, it matters that you are a member of this church, that you are part of this community, that you belong, that you've taken up your place of responsibility, that you're using your gifts, that you are serving other people. All of those are important things. We agree on things together as we see in the Word of God. I am committing to do these things. Membership is really important at Redeemer. We're calling people to a different kind of life, to a different kind of rhythm. And so we have our regular worship on Sundays, and we're expecting you to be here. And we are having a season of Lent. We don't have to do the season of Lent in order to be a good church, but it's catechizing. It's teaching us. There are times in which we need to stop and we need to be reflective and recognize that we are sinners before a holy God. And so we have a series on the holiness of God. And then we have this great celebration during the week of Easter. The Bible doesn't say you have to have it like we're doing it exactly. But we're creating this calendar of worship for our people, catechizing and saying, you know what, this is important, people of God. It is more important than anything else you got going on right now. This is the thing. Come, let us eat a meal together. Remember Jesus. Come, let's on Thursday night eat a meal together and remember that Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he implemented the Lord's Supper. Let's come on Friday night and let's hear the stories of the cross, the seven last sayings, and remember that Jesus suffered for us in a brutal, brutal way, but he's willing to endure the cross for you and me. Amen. Come to Easter, come to the sunrise service, or come to the regular service time service and celebrate in the beauty of the empty tomb. Come during Pentecost. Come during the season of Advent. We create these rhythms for the people of God to teach us his way, but it isn't just the rhythm. And that's what became the problem for the church, but also became the problem from Israel, where they were Taco Bell people. Like they had the form, but they didn't have the obedience. It did not come from the heart. And so Jesus says, there's a time that is coming in which you'll either worship on this mountain or that mountain, but the true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. And so we create this framework of faith so that we will be a set apart people. We will look different from the world. And we as individuals need to adopt these same kinds of rhythms in our lives, whether it's our calendars or it's our bank balances, our checkbooks. Does anyone have checkbooks anymore? Any of your apps? And so I think it's a fair thing for us to walk through those different compartments of our life. And we look at our calendar. What does your calendar say? Are you a set-apart person? If someone were to look at your calendar and they were to say, if they're from the outside, would they say that you are a follower after Jesus? If it shows where you're spending your time, if you're showing up one time a month for service, are you a set-apart person? Or does that person look at you and say, I could probably do that too. You look at your checkbook and you go through your budget and you see all the things that you spend money on. Would someone guess that you belong to the way? Your habits, how you talk at work, would someone guess that you belong to a community of faith that values humility before God? Or would you reflect greed and pride and anger? I want to be very careful that you hear this. This isn't about earning God's favor somehow. Like, come on, guys. Do better. This is about living who you really are. For your minds to be transformed, for our minds to be transformed. No longer conformed to this world, but being transformed. This is a renewing thing happening over and over again. And so we create this space, this calendar, and this space for worship. So what kind of people should we be in this group? Well, we're a confessing kind. We're a forgiving kind. We're a giving kind, a serving kind. Not perfect, but being formed as those who are separate from the world. When we were in that Greek restaurant, everything told the same story. Does your life tell a consistent story? Are you fleeing that old man, that old woman, and moving towards the new man and the new woman, the new creation? For by the graces of God, we don't just call ourselves Greeks or Texans. We are Christ followers. We are the holy people of God. First Peter 2 says, but you are a chosen race. This is you. You are a chosen race. You are a holy people. You are a royal priesthood. A people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. People of God, if you're ever in Pflugerville and you want good Greek food, see me afterwards. I can give you a name. My prayer for us is that people would look at us and we'd be a great recommendation for the kingdom of God. And they would say, not where do you go, but who are you with? They say, oh, I need that in my life. That we would get off the plain of Shinar and move out with the glorious face of Christ and share with others what it means to be the set-apart people. Not because we're awesome, but because we serve a holy God. Amen.